Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Okay, Rock Movers, as promised, Season 5 is just getting better and better and better. And today's guest, as you heard, Dana Diaz, is moving huge rocks for herself and for others in the area of narcissism, narcissistic abuse, all the things with her beautiful books, which the second and third are launching and coming. And Dana, I want to jump right in and let's just dive into the conversation of the story behind the books and your compelling vision to share your experience and all things about this journey that you've overcome moving these rocks. So first off, thank you
so much. Thank you. Honestly, because you know, after I tell my story, one of the big aspects of narcissistic abuse is that narcissists like to isolate you. My first book called Gasping for Air was actually a story of my former marriage, a relationship which lasted 25 years. And one of the biggest parts of that was that he took me 90 miles away from friends and family. He didn't like me seeing anybody. He didn't like me reading books. He didn't like me on the internet. I didn't even have a smartphone while we were married for 25 years. I got my first smartphone after we divorced in 2020. So, I mean, he did not want me to have any influence. And one of the first things when we were finally getting divorced was I listened to my very first podcast. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I listened to my first podcast.
And when was that? How long ago?
That was in 2020, 4 years ago. I mean, everybody had a smartphone by then. Even my son had an iPhone, and I didn't because he didn't think that I needed to be distracted with, you know, God forbid, information or knowledge or anything that would persuade me against him.
Yeah.
The podcast I listened to, it was a woman telling her story, and I swear she had lived the exact same life I had. And it just validated everything for me because you're made to feel ashamed. When you're abused, you're made to feel like what you believe, what you perceive is not real, that you're mentally deficient in some way, and that what you think and believe is not really what is. And so I feel so strongly about podcasts because they might speak, even some portion of this might speak to somebody out there that might be going through the same thing, or somebody knows somebody going through this that they can share this episode and it'll connect with this person so that they can hopefully make plans to make improvements in their lives and make better choices for themselves. But my story, it's very interesting. When I first met my ex-husband, which is where Gasping for Air starts, we all have that first impression that just right away you have an inkling about somebody. And he repulsed me. I was annoyed by his arrogance because there was nothing about him that really permitted such an attitude. He was aloof, couldn't be. It just reminded me so much of my stepfather. I couldn't wait till I was 18 years old to get out of my childhood home. Because part of my experience in life was that I was born to a teenage mother who didn't want me. Even immediately after I was born, she was only 17 years old. She had her tubes tied so she couldn't have any more children. So I'm not even sure she wanted any children, never mind me. But her husband, the man she ended up marrying, who was not my father, wanted me even less. And they both abused me, neglected me in many ways. I was physically and verbally abused, emotionally abused. Just to give a little inkling, because my second book is literally coming out today or tomorrow, which is called Choking on Shame, and it tells about my childhood. But I was told that nobody wanted me, that I shouldn't even have been existent, that nobody would ever want any part of me. I was never going to be anything. I was dumb. I was stupid. Even as a six-year-old child, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and spaghetti, if I ate them, they would make me fat. And I would look like a middle-aged woman with thick thighs. And, you know, the nastiness and the things that were said to me just were so, to shape a child in that way, it's no wonder that I grew up feeling very lowly about myself and having zero self-esteem, zero confidence. I was always withdrawn and awkward. And then you add to that the bruises and the hand marks on my neck, on my face, on my body that I would, I mean, you can see me still. I'm still wearing my hair in front of my face because I think it just became a trait in my life that, you know, cover up the bruises and keep your head down, fly under the radar. So it's no wonder that I ended up that something about this man that was aloof and arrogant and couldn't be bothered with me and was treating me like I was less than him, as repulsed as I was attracted to the familiarity of it.
Yeah.
So
you
here
knew how
we
to battle
were.
That demon.
I had to battle that demon. That was my rock. Now, when did I realize what my rock was? Not until I was 45 years old. And that's the sad part.
Can we pause right there? Because I want—I don't want to glaze over this. Because if there's someone listening to this that has been in a similar situation or is currently in this situation, and they're hearing you like you heard that voice on that podcast, our gift to you right now is to remove the shame, to remove the guilt, to remove the shackles and the chains that are holding you in a situation because you chose it and somehow feel that you deserve it.
Exactly. And it wasn't until, it's funny, I tell people, you don't really know what your deal breaker is in any relationship, the thing that'll say this isn't good for me anymore. You know, in a marriage, you think it's when they cheat on you. He cheated on me before and during our marriage up until the very end. You would think it was when he swung a crowbar at my head. You would think it was when prescription medications and guns and knives became involved. I stayed. I thought I was doing the right thing. I'm a Christian woman. I thought I should keep my family together for my son. I thought I should submit to every one of his whims to keep the peace for our sanity and to give my son some sense of normalcy in our life and for my own sanity and normalcy as well. But it wasn't until I got sick. I got very, very sick, all kinds of tests. I mean, I was having neurological, cardiovascular, digestive, muscular, every issue you could imagine. And I'm a healthy person. I ran 5 miles every day. I coached cross country at the grade school. I ate like hard-boiled eggs and bananas, you know, for lunch, like healthy, very healthy. Didn't make sense. It turned out I had so much cortisol running through my body, the stress hormone, living in fight or flight mode for so long that my white blood cells thought it had to eradicate something, ended up killing themselves off instead. So I was having all these random autoimmune reactions. And then I developed this lung disease that is similar to having COPD and fibromyalgia all at once, which explains all these other symptoms. And it was all because of cortisol, because of living that life. And my doctor sat me down and said, your body is shutting down. You are literally killing yourself with stress. So whatever is causing you so much stress, you have to figure that out. You have to change something. And that night I laid in bed and I had never understood when people say that they heard, you know, God put something in their heart or an angel whispered in their ear and all these things that seem like they happen to other people. And I just had this idea. I said, okay, I don't want to die. I don't want to live this life, but I don't want to die. I want to see my son grow up and get married and have kids. And I want to be happy. And I even want to be married to somebody who actually does love me and respect me and shares life with me. And, you know, these simple things I wanted in life, I wasn't asking for $1 million or making wishes from a genie in a bottle. And I realized that I couldn't do any of that if I was disrespecting my one body that I have and disrespecting myself, essentially, by continuing to tolerate things. But the key here, and this goes along with what you had just said, is that I had thought my whole life, my whole 45 years up to that point, that it was my mother and stepfather and their abuse holding me back. I thought it was my then husband that was holding me back and restricting me and putting these limitations. And I say this in my book, but I realized right then in that moment that night, I was the one who put the collar and the leash around my neck. I let him. I didn't ask for the abuse. I didn't ask, but nothing, I was keeping me there. So yeah. I could hypothetically unhook the leash from the collar and unbuckle that collar and take it off. And that's when I decided to say yes to myself for the first time in my life and no to other people. And it was such an empowering thing and literally life-changing. There certainly were challenges. You know, it's not easy to leave somebody that is abusive. And we had just gone into the shelter in place for COVID at that point. So I was actually locked in a house with a man who actually did threaten to kill me. He was planning to kill me. So it was a very trying time, but I had my faith and I was writing things down in this journal, keeping track so that I wasn't gaslighted into believing something different than what I knew I was experiencing. And here I am. I've written this book as a result of that journal and surviving that time. And it has taken a great amount of healing that I probably will continue on the rest of my life. But when I finally realized that nobody could love me enough, they had to love me. I had to respect me.
Yeah.
I was the one holding myself back. So I was the only one who could break that, forgive me for calling it a habit, but, and it's not easy. It's a very difficult thing. Time and patience are involved. A lot of forgiving to oneself for allowing things to get to that point, and a lot of forgiveness even going forward, because we all have those days where we stumble backward or retreat to old ways and old reactions. But there is a beautiful life. In the 4 years since all that, I am now healthier. I no longer have to be on an oxygen machine and a backpack so that I can breathe. I have gained weight because I had lost a tremendous amount of weight, was very sickly. I am remarried to somebody I've known for a very long time who treats me like Princess and the Pea. And he's so delicate and gentle and patient with me, and just such a different life that I would have never in a million years imagined was even a slight possibility for the broken and damaged girl that I thought I was. Because the thing about this is that how we think of ourselves, our narrative about ourselves is different from the one that's created about us by these people. And once we decide and we know who we are and who we want to be and what kind of a life we want, if you can see that and envision it, you can't unsee that, and everything will flow so much more easily. And, you know, I always tell people this is a sure sign that you're not living authentically, is just that unsettling feeling in the pit of your stomach or that gut instinct that, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with anxiety if it serves as it should, an alarm, an indication of something isn't right with this person or this situation. And we have to start listening to that and stop discrediting it.
Yeah. It's when we ignore it and dismiss it that it becomes, that's when it becomes the problem, right?
Exactly.
It's there as a, as you said, a red flag, a warning signal or symptom of being out of alignment and something being out of place with who we were created to be. I think it, your message is so powerful and goes right along with my story, and very much can relate to what you've shared in a different way. But my story is one, I was adopted and came, you know, to this realization that I was undeserving and unworthy and unchosen and all of these things that, you know, we have a thought and we make a story around it. So that was my story. And therefore, I had to choose really broken people who needed me so I could be valuable. And I had to be really, really good so nobody abandoned me.
Right.
And so in truth, what I was doing was abandoning myself the entire time, not honoring who I was, not honoring the inherent value I was born with, just as as a human with a calling. I know that there are people that are hearing this and they're like, okay, maybe I don't have that exact path, but I can relate so much to what Dana's saying and how her choices kind of created this rut. And it's really hard. And when you're in the middle of the rut, to even see a way out, because it feels so all encompassing and so overwhelming. Yes. And for me, there was, you know, physical abuse and emotional abuse. This was my very first marriage. And he was young, both making stupid decisions, but it took him throwing the Christmas tree at me. Like, it was something so simple of, oh, that was my straw for whatever reason. You know, all of the other things didn't matter, and I don't want to go into those now.
Right.
But those things, abuse and physical abuse and being pushed over a chair, and that's why my son was born prematurely, and I stayed, you know, being cheated on, and I stayed, and, you know, him being connected to drugs and trafficking and all of this stuff, and I stayed, and it took a Christmas tree. Like, it's random.
That's why I say we never know what that deal breaker is, and then it comes, never know. And you're like, there it is, there it is.
So if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, I'm hitting that line, and I'm there, and I see that this is not the life I want, this is not who I want to be, and I don't know what to do about it. In your book, Gasping for Air, tell us how you're using your story in these books, Gasping for Air. And I'm sorry, I wrote the other one.
Yeah, Choking on Shame is the one about the childhood that's coming out this week. You know, the books are meant to just help people, to help validate them most of all. Because I think
normalize their feelings.
We all think that we are in this unique situation that nobody else will understand. I mean, as children, we're isolated in that. You know, I might have told a friend or two a little hint of what was going on, but nobody really knew. And there were adults that sensed it that I tried to tell, but nobody, you didn't talk about that stuff. Polite society doesn't want to hear it. That's not nice to talk about it. So we're hushed, we're silenced. And I think that's the biggest part of it, is that somebody has to step up and say, no, no more. Because really, look, when I was looking for books about people that have been through it, you can find a number of them about child abuse. A Child Called It, I hate to say it's one of my favorites, but it was one of the more profound books in the area of child abuse. It's a very difficult and very triggering read, but it speaks so well to how in a house, one child out of multiple can be singled out, and how one parent and all the other kids can know exactly what's going on and see it happening and just say, we're going to go out for ice cream while you all, you know, while you abuse that one over there. It's so awful, but it's real. And there are very few books then going forward, which I think I can only think of maybe four or five that actually talk about narcissistic abuse or any kind of abuse in an adult relationship or a friendship or whatever. And so it was just aiming to relate to people, to connect them, to put words to how they feel, even though I had to reveal things even about myself, whether they were thoughts or actions, things I may have said or done that I'm not even proud of, that actually I'm very ashamed that I would have never wanted anyone, never mind the entire world, to have access to. But I think it speaks to how our situations change us. And you know, like I think I said in the book, that I didn't like who he was turning me into. He was expecting me to be a certain somebody. And in Choking on Shame, I was expected to be this daughter and do and say these things. But that wasn't who I was. And it was the struggle to kind of figure out who I was and who my sense of self really is, situations where that was being stripped away and where I was being shamed for and made to feel deficient for who I really was. But now I'm like, you know what? It was what it was. And I will not call myself broken. I will not call myself damaged. I don't have mental problems. Yes, I have CPTSD. I have anxiety. I have things that I am managing. But just like you physically work out and lift weights or go on walks, you know, to maintain physical health, I am doing things every day to help and improve my mental health. But biggest thing is that I'm going to stand up for every person who still isn't comfortable speaking up. And second, I want people to see it's okay. You did make mistakes. I'm still going to make mistakes going forward, knowing better. I need to forgive myself, and I want other people to see it's okay. Don't carry that shame. Don't carry other people's unhealed trauma and shame either. Take what you've been given. It sucked. It's awful. Nobody ever asks to be that strong, but here you are. But it doesn't have to define who you are in the present, who you are going forward, nor does it have to steal your happiness and joy and the blessings of life that are before you if you so choose to receive them. Because I am never in a million years thought that I would be remarried, nonetheless have this beautiful life that I have. Never in a million years. Yet here I am.
So here you are. Here you have this totally new life. And you've moved that rock of that abuse, that situation, that shame to receive this new belief, view, perception of yourself and what you deserve to be able to receive a relationship like this. I think that, like, we don't just go from one to the other, right? There has to be that transition of, yeah, I see that I deserve that. I can receive that.
Exactly.
I can step into that. So now you're writing these books. What else are you doing with this awareness of who you are, who you were born to be, because you've gone through that situation? How are you using that lesson, the things that you've learned? Because we do it first for us.
Right.
And then we help others. So what is that going to look like for you, that transition into using your journey to help others?
Well, this is the beautiful thing of when you so-called start over. I say it's like having an Etch-a-Sketch and you shake it up. Oops, shook my
love
microphone.
Love that example.
You shake it up.
I can visualize.
And
I
I'm
grew up with an
over.
Etch-a-Sketch, so I get
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. And so if you're our age and had one, you take the drawings, you shake it and clear it up. And so now I've drawn this path that now I've listened to what was put in my heart. I've written Gasping for Air. Choking on Shame is being published. The third book is coming out in a few months. It's written. We're just working on revising and publishing. Author Dana has been established. I created Author Dana out of all that terrible stuff that happened. I have also been working on my own personal healing. And so it's nice to be able to just sit down with the Etch-a-Sketch and say the same thing I said to myself before I wrote the books is, what do I want? Just asking the simple question. And it can be, what do you want in the scheme of things? What do you want? It, you know, my main purpose and something I wanted since I was 12 years old was to help other victims of abuse, of whatever abuse. I was bullied in school, which you'll read about in Choking on Shame. Bullying, abuse, anytime a human intentionally harms another human, I am your girl standing up for you and advocating, you know, for more justice for victims, but mostly I just want to relate and connect to people. So what does that look like going forward? I've spoken in some summits for healing. I'll be participating. I'm already scheduled to participate in some online masterclasses and workshops to help, you know, discuss on a certain topic of things. So I think just speaking, group settings, helping, and that will probably lead to coaching on some level. Maybe beginning next year. So, you know, again, it's just I'm in process. The new Dana is still, you know, blooming and emerging, but the opportunities that are available to me that I would have never guessed were available. It's just amazing how life can turn around. We just have to choose, you know, to make things different and choose to really see our vision and go for it.
Yeah. I'm just sitting hearing what you're saying and just I know someone listening to this, these are like a salve on their wounds, right?
Just I hope so.
Hearing that, hearing their situation or their feelings mirrored back and saying it's okay, you're going to be okay and you can choose you. You can choose.
Exactly. That's the first yes
start over.
Somebody should make is to themselves.
Yeah. What a gift. What a gift. So for those that want to connect with you and they hear your story, they want to get your books, where can they find your books? And I'm going to go ahead and show your website
here. Thank you. And yes, so the links for the books are on the website. There's also a quiz on there if anyone wants to take that to see if you're in an abusive relationship, specifically with a narcissist. Books are sold anywhere online. And I did make sure that the book is available in ebook format. You can go to Kindle to grab that, because I know a lot of people in the situation could not freely have a book that says abuse sitting out on their nightstand or coffee table.
Or have it delivered to the house.
Or
right?
have it delivered to the house. So it is available on ebook if you want to hide it on your Kindle or on your phone or wherever. And it's much more affordable that way as well. But the next book, the link is up. We still have not activated it, but it will be available. And then follow me on Facebook and Instagram. The links are also on the website for those to stay tuned for basically anything and everything I post. Sometimes I post funny stuff because we need to laugh about our situation. We need to laugh once in a while or smile. And sometimes I post informational stuff. Sometimes it's things that have helped me or something people can connect to so they don't feel alone. Yeah. But however somebody needs me to be there for them, I try to, you know, accommodate that.
I love it. And it's like, you know, we need to see that joy is possible again.
Yes.
When you live in such a dark place and everything feels so heavy and so dark, like there's just so much to it. The lightness of laughing and joy sometimes feels like it for other people. So I love that you've found that again and that you're sharing that. So thank you for that and for sharing your story so vulnerably on this platform and with your books, because it's a challenge to be vulnerable when you've been such a victim, when you've been victimized your entire life. I can see how that is just, number one, so empowering to take back your power and say, no, I get to own this and I get to put it in the light. Because it's when we keep it in the dark, when we hold on to the heavy, that we give it the power. So when we take it back and put it in the light, we take back our power. So
100%.
First off, kudos to you. Congratulations on the books, on taking the step, and for using your rocks to pave the way for others to follow on this path of healing. So what a beautiful gift. And I just appreciate you sharing that so much on our story. So if you want to connect with Dana, you said Facebook is the best place to
connect?
Facebook,
Instagram. Yeah, either one.
Okay.
I post on
and
both
every
day.
And it's Dana, are you Dana Diaz on those? Or where?
Dana S. Diaz, yep.
Dana S. Diaz, okay. So if you're listening to this, Dana S. Diaz, and the show notes will have all of the links, but make sure that you connect, support Dana, and grab that book. Ebook is available if you want to be more discreet, or if you prefer Kindle or reading it on your phone. What a great way to be aware, just to know that situation and know that that's not something they can have sitting out. So such a beautiful gift. Thank you for being on the show with us, sharing your story, and continuing to move rocks for others.
Thank you so much.
And we will see you on the next episode of The Rock Movers. Keep moving those rocks. Just know you don't have to do it alone. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did. And I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to The Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our Rock Moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.